have a note here from a family to share with you. Dear church family, thank you for all the love and support during this difficult time, the generosity that was poured out in our honor, in honor of Warren, was very thoughtful and appreciated. We also are thankful for all of the prayers as we continue during this healing process. We love you all, Jordan and Savannah Colon family. And I know they cherish our continued prayer. And for Monica and Russell and my family, we continue to pray for you all as you go through this healing time. Our men will come and receive the morning offering at this time. Our men will lead us in prayer.
Bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day, for this opportunity to come and to hear and study your word. Lord, as we come to a point that we can give back to you what you've blessed us with over the years, and I pray that you're a special blessing upon this. I pray for glorify you and to save the lost souls. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to mention dogs and horses one more time to you. If you've never been to our house, 174 Highway 9122, or County Road, excuse me, County Road 9122, it's everything but a highway. But don't give up. If you put that in your phone, it'll stop you before you get there, but just keep coming to the top of the hill and you'll find it. Michael Stroud's going to do the cooking for us again. So the only thing that you'll need to bring is desserts. And if you'll bring a dessert, that'd be great. If you can't, that's fine too. If you have a gentle horse that we can use, that would be great too. Last time we had 9 horses, I think, and 80 people, and lots of food, and that's what we're expecting this time, so come. No one has volunteered yet to do s'mores, so if you would volunteer to do that, that would be good. We'll furnish everything else, and we'll have old Buck there for a little demonstration. For those, no, not really. But we'd like for you to come and be a part of that. We'll have a bonfire. We know it's going to be cold, but we're going to start at 4 o'clock, and so we'll go until we can't, and then we'll, when you see Gwen winding the alarm clock, you know it's be time for you to go. How's that? No, we'll have a good time. So, come on. I don't know what he's going to fix this time, but last time we had a big chicken. He started cooking at 10 o'clock that morning, and he and Max, and we had chicken and ribs and baked beans and cornbread made on the grill and all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure it'll be delightful, whatever it is. If not, we'll have hot dogs. But anyway, bring your horse if it's gentle enough for us to use, and we'll have a big time. We did last time. I'm always delighted that we'll have kids there that have never been on the back of a horse before. And that's always just amazing. One little girl I was helping her get on, and I said, "Have you ever been on a horse before?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, you'll be just fine." And she said, "No, I'm three. she thought I said, "You'll be five." But anyway, we had a big time, and we had lots of kids, and that's how it'll be this time, I'm sure. So I hope you'll come. Bring your lawn chair and a smile, and we'll have a lot of good fellowship time. I'll need lots of help, like I did last time, and because Blake and Maylee are not making the announcement, then they're going to be in full responsibility of the tables and chairs this time. So they're proud for that. If you're involved in children's church, we're going to let your Indians go at this time. I don't know if you know it, but that's a good sound. Do you hear that sound? That's called pity, pity, patter. And that is a good sound. Lots of kids. That's going to keep us going for several years. And we're very thankful for that. Of course, you've known for some time that we were going to have guest speaker today. I am grateful to have my friend Dr. Leon Sykes back with us today. Leon worked for us for a number of years as associate pastor and counselor, and we're thankful to have him here with us today. He's he's moved from here. Miss Janice, his wife, has passed and gone to be with Jesus. And so he's by himself today. And we've had the privilege of having him in our home. And if anybody knows where we can get some real thin sliced bologna, we would be interested in that. But we've been tickled to death to have Leon in our home, and I'm grateful to get to introduce him to you today, even though he doesn't need an introduction. But welcome, Dr. Leon Sykes. I know this morning, let's see, probably need to turn this thing on. Is it on? Okay, all right, good deal. It's not on, well, okay, it's on mute, I see. Are we on now?
He has a doctor's degree, but he's not real sharp on some stuff.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Brother Lanny taught me how to use this, so you can understand the problem. because I will figure it out before I get through today, I'm sure. You do not know how delighted I am to be back. This is home, and I feel like I'm home. Brother Lanny took care of the introduction, and I don't need to say any more, take time doing that. But it's just one. I know how the Jews felt when they crossed back into the Holy Land. I feel like I'm back in the Holy Land. I wrote a lot of my friends in Arizona and told them, I said, well, I just got into the Holy Land. Some folk call it Arkansas, but that's, you know, some folks just not too bright anyway. But it is just, it is so, this is home. This is home. This church is home. And I'm delighted to be here. Matt, I'm amazed. Matt and I, he hadn't said a word until I walked in here this morning, so I had no idea what he was going to sing. He had no idea what I was going to preach on, but that music today is just absolutely in line with what I'm going to preach on. And I've had a couple of exciting things. Brother Lanny told you that one that wasn't exciting at all, but my wife did go to heaven 2 years ago. Last month, in October, actually the 31st of October, she shut her eyes, went to sleep, went to heaven. And that's what I asked God to do, and that's what God did. And took her gently with no pain, no problems. And I was so glad to do that. For those of you who may not know, that the only reason I left here was because I had to have help with her. She got a terrible form of dementia. One that only allows about 5 years of life from the time it's diagnosed, and she just about exactly what she got was 5 years, and God took her home. But I didn't leave because I didn't love you, didn't leave because I didn't love it here, but I left because I had no choice. When I told God that I would be with her through sickness and health the rest of our life, I meant that. I meant it sincerely, and I did. So a little bit of hard time. But then the good news is I'm back here, and not only did God get me here safely, long old drive out here. Arkansas just too far away. But I also was awarded, got the news in my car. My daughter-in-law called me. She's the one that put it all together. So I got the news in the car that I had been awarded a free trip to the Netherlands to see my daddy's grave. He was killed in World War II. When you did the patriotic thing, I come unglued with that. I love that. And I was killed. My dad was killed when I was 6 years old. And just vaguely remember him. He was a farmer over in Oklahoma. And very faint memories of me sitting kind of on his shoulders while he drove the tractor. But I was 6 years old at the time and never got to – he was buried, of course. In World War II, families were responsible to bring family home if they were killed overseas. The government didn't pay for any of it. And we were just poor Oklahoma cotton farmers and, of course, couldn't afford to do it. And then as I got grown, of course, then I went into the ministry and still couldn't afford to do it. And then God gave me four sons, and I sure couldn't afford to do it, trying to feed them simultaneously. And so never thought about this till my phone rang. And my little daughter-in-law said, I have signed you up for a program called Wish of a Lifetime. Just for seniors, not nobody else is eligible. If you're not a senior, you're not even eligible. But I'm now a senior, so just last year, I think. So she sent me this paperwork. I signed everything, and then she called me, as I said, in my car on the way out here and said, Dad, you've been approved. And we did it for Memorial Day next May, which is the perfect day. And said they're going to send you round trip plane tickets. You'll have a rental car when you get there, You'll have a hotel room all paid for. All of your meals will be paid for, plus several hundred dollars in spending money if you want to do some things while you're here. You'll be here 6 days and then fly back home. And we will guarantee it will cost you nothing. Just come and enjoy it. And I get to go out to that funeral. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a picture of that cemetery in the Netherlands, but I think 8,500 American soldiers buried in that cemetery in the Netherlands. It's a beautiful place. They keep it extremely well maintained, and I send flowers periodically for Memorial Day, and they do. They go out and put it on his grave and what have you. So in May, I'll be going to the Netherlands. Used to be Belgium, and for some reason they changed it to the Netherlands, but nonetheless. So I'm here. I'm going to the Netherlands. You know, I'm just about to rapture. If I leave, just understand I went to heaven. Okay, I didn't leave you, and y'all can go also if you know the Lord. So we'll get together there. But would you open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1? I'm just going to preach through the Bible this morning. Won't take over an hour and a half, 2 hours, but. But I want to talk to you today about the greatness of God and His plan for us. The greatness of God. We have a little saying, and I don't know who started that, but it kind of went through all the Southern Baptist churches. But God is good all the time. All the time God is good. See, you've forgotten some of it, haven't you? But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And that He is, and God has a plan for us. One, as you'll see as I go through the message today, one that goes before you were born, from conception, God had your life all planned out, every minute detail. And now, I never did make a mistake, so that was all fine, but some of you made mistakes during your life, you know, but God knew you'd make. Well, now to think about it, I made one or two. Max, did you know of me ever making a mistake? See there? And you can believe Max. Yeah, I mean, you know. Now, we make lots of mistakes, don't we? We go lots of directions God doesn't want us to. But if we just let Him have His way, He'll always draw us back to Him. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, stand with me as I read just this verse. I won't keep you standing long if you're able to, but I always like to honor the Word of God. I believe with all my heart, and we won't ever argue the point, but I believe with all my heart that I hold right here in my hand the mind of God. If I could understand every bit of it, then I could understand God. That's not going to happen. But this book is so sacred and needs to be kept that way. But in Genesis chapter 1, very first book of the Bible, first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, go over to one of my favorite books in the New Testament, the book of Romans. And you may be seated, because this will take a little bit longer, but thank you for honoring the Word of God. In Romans chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 19, the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, chapter number 8, and beginning in verse 19. In fact, I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. I think it makes a little more sense there. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was excited about God making man, because God made creation first, obviously. But verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly because of man, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Creation is groaning under the mistakes and the sins and the refusal by mankind to obey God. Creation does not like that. All of creation obeys God. I love those stories. We get to think they're just childhood stories for our children, and that's not the case at all. They're stories for us about the Daniel in the den of lions and hungry lions waiting to devour this man of God, and God said, shut your mouth. You lie. Go over there and lay down. Jesus in the terrible storm there on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples scared to death. The boat was about to sink. And Jesus just stood up in the boat and said, hush, you waves, lay down, be still. And the waves obeyed him. And you go through the whole, you find creation obeying. When God speaks to creation, a creation obeys instantly. They don't argue with him. They don't decide to do it their own way. They do it instantly. Man doesn't do that. Man does not do that. We kind of spit in God's face and decide we'll do it our way, in our time. And that doesn't work with God. But let's get into the message now. I want to deal with six things this morning. That is contrary to all the teaching I got years ago in college. But you're supposed to preach 3 points, a poem and 3 points, and a conclusion and a beginning, all those things. But I'm going to do 6 points today. I can hold it down, as I said earlier. It's 1.5 to 2 hours, but we'll go there. But as I read these two portions of Scripture, I thought about the greatness of God and God's plan for us. I can look back on my whole life, and I think you could too, if you just sit down and mull over it and consider your life. God has been running my life from the day, from conception, before I was ever born. And boy, I have goofed. I have made some mistakes. I've gone contrary to the will of God. I've done some crazies over the years. But God has still always been there to gently just woo me back to the center of his will, back to where he wanted me to be. Not necessarily where I wanted to be, but where he wanted me to be. So the first thought this morning is this. Before there was a world, there was God. Before there was a world, there was God. Remember, God has no beginning and no end. God has always been. Now, that's impossible for me to understand. I know it, and I can say it, and I believe it, but I don't understand it. God's just always been. He didn't have a start. We had a start. The earth had a start. The world had a start. Creation had a start. God didn't. But before the world was, there was God. In Psalms chapter 90, let me just read this for you. You won't have to look it up. In Psalms chapter 90, the first two verses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. Again, we don't understand that. Everlasting. What's on the other side of everlasting? Just God. On either side of everlasting, there's God. God was before everlasting, and he's after everlasting. God is there all the time. He's not, no beginning, no end. So before there was a world, there was God. Secondly, before there was sin, there was a Savior. Don't you thank God for that? Before there was sin, there was already a Savior. Now, world hadn't seen him yet. The world was going to see him. But in Genesis chapter 3, we were in 1 a while ago, Genesis 1. I'm going to switch over now to Genesis chapter 3. and read some verses there that will better explain what I'm trying to say here. Before there was sin, there was a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says, "Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.'" It was that woman, Lanny. It was that woman. The man blamed the woman. Who'd the woman blame? She blamed Satan. Who did Satan blame? Poor old Satan. He didn't have anybody to blame. It was just him. He did it. He had nowhere to go. And so God said, "Okay, for that I will deal with you." When I read these verses, I always think about a former president. Not one of my favorites, but a pretty good guy when you really research him. President Harry S. Truman. And when Truman got elected president, the first thing he did when he got into the office, he said, "I want a sign. Have somebody make me a sign, and I want it to go on the front of my desk that says, 'The buck stops here.'" If you don't see, you can go online. There's pictures of that online of that. And that was his right, sitting right on the front of his desk. "The buck stops here." Now, folks, listen to me. The buck stops with you. Did you know that? So up to us to make the decision. It's up to you to make the decision whether you're going to ask Jesus to be your Savior. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to serve Him or not. It's up to you that we just took up the offering. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to give or not. Now, I know what God says, and I know what you ought to do, but it's up to you. See, God does not force us, does He? He doesn't force us to do anything. He doesn't force us to obey Him. However, I love the old song about the wasp that God sent to the Israelites when they wouldn't obey Him. He said, "They didn't make me go against my will. They just made me willing to go." And God doesn't make you go against your will. But you know what? He'll make you willing to go if you get out of His will. And that's not always really comfortable. So before there was sin, there was a Savior. Skip on down to verse 21 there in Genesis 3, if you're still in Genesis 3. Skip on down to verse 21. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." Now, what had they tried to do before this? After they sinned, then they felt guilty because they knew they had disobeyed God and they knew they were in trouble because God said, "When you eat of this tree, you're going to die." And so they didn't understand all that, but they knew they were in trouble. And so they knew for the first time that they were naked. And so they went out and made them a covering of leaves. Well, that's no good. But don't we all do that sometimes, try to cover up somehow? And God says, no, you can't hide from God. I remember my son, who's now a pastor in Grand Junction, Colorado. I remember when he was just about, probably 6 years old, 7 years old. We had taken Janice to the store to get something, and she just needed to run in and grab something quick. So I said, "Well, honey, we'll just drive around the block, let you go ahead and get it, and we'll pick you up when we get around. I'm not going to try to park here. It's downtown Denver," and didn't want to mess with that. And so let her out. And after she got out of the car, Doug said, "Dad, I got a question." "Okay, what's your question?" He said, "Now, don't get upset, but I got a question. So, Dad, if you get under your bed and do something, can God see you?" Now, to this day, I don't know what he did or what he wanted to do or what he intended to do under the bed, but I said, "God can see you anywhere, son. It don't matter where you're at, God can see you." But sometimes we're just as stupid as that, aren't we? We think somehow we can hide something from God or fool God. That's a total impossibility. And so what they tried to do to cover up didn't work. And so God had to go out and kill what I believe to be a lamb. The Bible just says an animal, but I think a lamb. And you can't hardly skin an animal without killing it. And so something had to die for their sin. And the Bible says very clearly, the wages of sin is death. Now, he means that for us, I understand. But he also meant it for that lamb that had to give up the skin to cover Adam and Eve because of their sin. That lamb had to suffer and die for their sin. But God had already made that plan because the lamb was there before Adam and Eve. See, before there was sin, there was a Savior already. God had already made provision, and he has for each of our lives. The next thought, before there was guilt, there was grace. Boy, don't you love grace? Don't you love grace? Before there was guilt, there was grace. Because they suddenly felt guilty. Why did they feel guilty? Because they were naked? No. Because they had disobeyed God. And because they had disobeyed God, then they felt guilty about being naked. But the real guilt, the beginning of the guilt, was because they knew they'd disobeyed God. Because God said, don't do that. Well, Satan came along and in his subtle way, and be careful because he still operates exactly the same. You know, he's never changed his tactics because he doesn't have to. When something works, just stay with it. And it worked. But old Satan, he said, do you really think you'll die? Do you really think God meant that? Well, yeah. God really means what he says. Okay? And so they felt guilty, but even before the guilt was there, the grace had already provided the sacrifice in that lamb to take care of that. In Genesis 3:7, if you're still there, look at verse number 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Boy. Don't we try again, as I said a moment ago, we try to hide from God. We try to cover things up from God. And that never, never works. Listen, folks, God knows everything you're doing all the time you're doing it. Nothing is kept from the eyes of God. Nothing. Night or day, doesn't make any time of day, morning, night, doesn't matter. God knows what we're doing. You're not going to hide it from God. You might as well admit, because God's already made a provision that we can just come to him and confess it, and he'll forgive us. I can't imagine. You know, it's kind of hard to forgive folks when they do things, isn't it? Especially when they do mean things to you. And you know you ought to forgive them, but boy, that's tough. But we're forever sinning, and God is forever forgiving, isn't he? It's over and over, time and time again. Before there was guilt, there was grace. The next thought, before there was death, there was life. Before there was death, there was life already. God had already made a provision. Before there was death, God had already provided for their life, their eternal life in heaven with him. God's already provided for you. Just have to take advantage of it. It's there. Before there was hell, there was heaven. Before there was hell, there was heaven. God's heaven. God created hell for man. He didn't need it. He had all of the universe and all of heaven. But God created hell. And it's a place that I do not want to be. It wasn't made for me. It was made for sinners. But you know what? If you're here this morning and have never received Jesus Christ as Savior, you're a sinner. I'm sorry, but I'm not in the business of soft-pedaling anything. You're a sinner. And hell was made for sinners. And I don't want to join that bunch. I want to go to heaven. I've got folks waiting on me. In fact, it's getting to the point I got more up there than I've got down here. So that's kind of the way life works. But I told when everybody was rushing around with their mask on and hiding and churches were shutting down, and somebody asked me, said, why don't you ever wear a mask? I said, you cannot scare me with heaven. You cannot scare me with heaven. If I die, I'm going to heaven, and you can't scare me with that. You could scare me with hell, but I'm not going there. That's a done deal. That's settled. Because before there was hell, there was already heaven. God had already prepared His heaven for those who believe in Him. What an amazing thing. Matthew, and I love this verse, Matthew 25 and verse 41 says, then He will also say to those on the left hand, that's the folks who have not received Jesus, who have denied Jesus, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Folks, listen to me. Hell was not prepared for any of mankind. Mankind was not intended to go to hell. And God made a provision where they didn't have to, where we didn't have to, where we don't have to. God made a provision. If we'll just accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we don't have to worry about it. See? We don't have to worry about it. Because that was not prepared for us. Heaven was prepared. Jesus said what? I go. And He told the apostles there as He was leaving. And they were all upset and they were crying and they were concerned. He said, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be also. God's building me a house in heaven. But I said it just a moment ago. You cannot scare me with heaven. I've already got a home. I've got a Savior. I've got a home. I've got friends. I'm ready to go. God prepared heaven before there was even a hell. And then the last thought this morning. Before there was us, I mean, me, you, us, usins. That's biblical, by the way. I'll explain that to you some other time. But that's the proper usage. Usins, okay? That's in the Greek. Just take my word for it. Okay. Before there was usins, weans, there was a plan and purpose for us. Before we even existed, there was a plan and purpose for us. From the very womb. If you ever have any struggle with abortion, and folks who are in favor of it, just pray for them. But here's a verse for you to read and for you to give them. In the book of Psalms 139, Psalms 139, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am, this ought to make you feel good about yourself, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You say, no, I'm ugly, I'm too short, I'm too tall. No, listen how God made you, okay? You are fearfully and wonderfully made the way God wanted you to be. You may not like it. May not be what you think it ought to be. But, you know, it's what pleases God and what God intended. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you, or my body was not hidden from you, even in the womb. The body was not hidden from God. When I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The days were already fashioned for me. God already had every second, every millisecond of my life planned out before I was ever born. Now, some of you might think, as I did, that I was running things. I'm doing my own thing. No, I'm doing what God wanted. As I told you earlier, God doesn't go against our will. He just makes us willing to go, so that we gladly then will follow. In fact, there's been a time or two in my life when I've gotten way out of God's will. I remember when I was sharing with the boys that I was coming out here, and I said, "You guys all right with that?" And they said, "God, you do what God wants you to do, because we've seen you when you're out of God's will." Because that's a miserable life, folks. If you're out of God's will, you need to get back in. God's still there. He still loves you. He still wants you back. But He wants you back in His will. And my, boy, you sleep better when you're in God's will. You don't have to lay there and stare at the ceiling and worry about getting caught. Worry about doing something wrong. Just be in God's will, and you're not going to do anything wrong, okay? It's just that simple. Yet, as yet, he said, my days were fashioned for me as yet when there were none of them. Before there was even a day in my life, from the very womb, God had already planned it all out. Thank God for that. In the beginning, there was no beginning. Say, now, wait a minute. No? Why? Because God's always existed. See, I don't understand that. But God doesn't have a beginning or an end, obviously. We do. The earth does. Each one of us, we have a beginning and an end, don't we? They call it birth and death. Beginning and end. God has no beginning and end. God has always been. Now, if you understand that, I'm going to be here most of the week. If you could get a hold of me and sit down and explain it to me, I'd really appreciate it. Because I don't understand it. I don't understand. I understand that I have a beginning and an end. I don't understand that God doesn't. But He's God. See, I don't have to understand it. He has always existed. From now on, so will you. You know that? From birth, you're going to exist for eternity, either with God or with the devil. It's your choice. I'm being very blunt, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend, but you've got a choice. You're going to spend, from the moment you were born, you're going to spend eternity with somebody, either God or the devil. I'd rather spend it with God. But you can only spend it with God if you know His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. We will all exist eternally somewhere. As I said, either with God in His heaven or with Satan in His hell. While there's time, eternal decisions can be made. While there is time, we got time. Eternal decisions can be made. Because when you receive Jesus as Savior, that's an eternal decision. You will spend eternity with the God of eternity. Heaven's land. How amazing. One last verse and I'm through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For He says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Now is the day. Well, you know, like the old ruler told Paul, he said, well, Paul, come back tomorrow. I'll listen to you again. He said, you've almost persuaded me. You know, a lot of almost persuaded people are in hell. Don't work that way. Almost persuaded won't get you there. Got to receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, to stand with me. And then I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to turn the service back to the pastor and him to close it out as he sees fit. Because he is the pastor. And he is my friend. And I love and trust him in ways that you probably can't even imagine. We've been dear friends for a long time. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you to think about eternity and then think about time. Because you have time right now to prepare for eternity that you may not have tomorrow. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God made it as simple as could be for us. Because if you're like me, you're a little simple-minded. But God made it simple enough that I can understand it. So as I pray this morning, I'm going to ask you also, in your heart, God can hear you, pray. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, just in your own heart, say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all the sin in my life. Please forgive me and accept me into your eternal life. Give me the salvation that you died for, Jesus. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. You pray as I pray. Lord, thank you for the time together this morning. Thank you for your greatness. Oh, what a great God we serve. Lord, I'm always awestruck when I think about your greatness and your love and compassion and salvation, strength and encouragement. My, what a great God. Lord, if there's one person in this building today that does not know you as Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do a marvelous work on their heart and life. They would ask Jesus into their heart. If there's a Christian here who's dealing with sin, maybe like Adam and Eve trying to hide it, help them today to realize that it's already been paid for if they'll just accept it. That sin's taken care of if they'll just confess it to you and ask you to forgive them. It's a done deal. So, Lord, you have your way and your will in the life of every individual here this morning. I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Pastor.